I'm Risa Williams, and this is The Motivation Mindset. And today we have a special episode of the show called The Time Toolkit, where I talk about tools from my books. In this episode, we'll be discussing the stress ruler from my book, The Ultimate Anxiety Toolkit, and time containers from my book, The Ultimate Time Management Toolkit. All tools discussed on the show are meant for educational purposes only and not meant as a replacement for medical care or psychotherapy. To learn more in-depth information about both these tools, please read the full chapters in the books, which you can find at theultimatetoolkitbooks.com. Joining me today is Dulcie Yamanaka. Dulcie has appeared on a few of the Time Lab episodes trying out tools. She's been communicating with me about my books, and I basically just decided she should officially be an assistant to the show. Welcome back, Dulcie.
Hi, Risa. So I love that your book comes with its very own stress ruler. I found this to be very helpful. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the stress ruler works?
So one of the main things I work with clients on is the idea of not overworking ourselves and learning how to understand how our brains and bodies are affected by stress throughout the day. I feel like stress is the kind of thing that people don't stop to quantify. Often people say, I'm really stressed out or I'm freaking out, but they're not really gauging how their stress is rising throughout the day. So I invented a tool called the Stress Ruler, which you can find in my book, The Ultimate Anxiety Toolkit. For this particular tool, I want you to visualize a ruler like the kind you had in school, and it goes from 1 to 10. On the 10 side, this is when your stress is really high, so you're freaking out, you're feeling overwrought, and whatever that looks like to you. And on the 1 side, this would be where your stress is really low. So this is sometimes where people say they're feeling mellow or they don't have a care or they're not troubled by worrying thoughts as much. And somewhere in the middle is a 5 or a 6 where it's a more normal level of stress. You feel a certain amount of stress, but you're able to push those stressful thoughts aside more frequently. So we're not always at a 1 and we're not always at a 10. We tend to go up and down on the scale throughout the day. The trick is to figure out the subtle differences between the notches. So what does a 2 versus a 3 feel like to you? Or what does a 5 versus a 6 feel like to you? And to start to gauge what this feels like in our bodies. For instance, some people, as they're climbing up the scale and getting higher on the scale, they'll lose their sense of humor, they'll skip meals. It looks different depending on what type of person you are. All people express the different notches differently. So in between a 5 and a 10 is what I call the red zone number, which is usually people will tell me it's a 7 or 8. And the red zone number is something I want people to identify because what I find is it's a tipping point where if you can catch yourself getting stressed out before you hit your red zone number, you have a greater chance of bringing your stress down in small notches. Whereas if you pass over that 7 or 8, you can go right to a 10 and it becomes harder and harder to calm yourself down. So what does a 7 look like to you? Like I said, it's different for all people. I find with myself, I tend to laugh a lot and like to laugh. So when I start to lose my sense of humor and things are no longer feeling funny and I'm starting to become very serious, then I know that's a warning sign. I'm probably at a 7 when I'm taking things a little harder than normal. But other people tell me, you know, they feel really tired or they start to get headaches or they start to lose their temper. A lot of people will race through their day without taking any breaks. And that's when they know they're at a 7 or an 8.
So now that I know my red zone areas, what are some ways to stop myself from overworking and getting stressed out every day?
So as we become more mindful of what each step on the ruler looks like to us, we can start to feel it as it climbs throughout the day and start to get really honest with ourselves about how stressed out we're feeling. And sometimes this requires taking what I call a time buffer break. So as you're racing around through your busy schedule, we're often not taking enough breaks to regulate our emotional states and regulate our bodies. so that we can let the stress fall down. Cortisol and adrenaline are released when you're feeling a high amount of stress, and they can stay in our bodies for up to 2 hours after onset, which means if you've released that into your body, it's going to take you a while to regulate yourself and bring the stress down and reset your body and brain. But what I find is that people don't have a great understanding of this. So they're racing around, their stress is climbing, they're experiencing a lot of cortisol and adrenaline, and they don't really realize it till they're already at a level 10. And at that point, it becomes really hard and it takes a lot of time to calm down. So if you can start to learn the subtle differences, especially around a 7 or 8, and catch it, start to feel your heart going a little faster, or maybe your shoulders are clenched or your jaw is clenched, or you're getting short-tempered, or you're having trouble processing things and making decisions. All these are signs that we may be at a higher level of stress than we think. So when you catch yourself doing that, take a second and say, I need a time buffer break. I need to step away from what I'm doing. So as I write about in the Ultimate Time Management Toolkit, during a time buffer break, it's good to switch things up for your brain. So if you've been sitting at a computer, it might be a good idea to step away from the computer or put the phone down. Some time buffer breaks that work well for people for bringing the stress down are sitting outside in nature, because as we know, nature, they've done many studies where just sitting around greenery, trees, plants, looking around at natural things will tend to bring people's stress down almost instantly, sometimes within 15 minutes. So if you can sit outside and just breathe, do the breathing techniques we talked about, look around. There are other grounding techniques that therapists like to use, such as look around and name the colors around you, or you can name the qualities of an object you're holding. And as you're listing things, you're connecting with being in the present moment. It's a way to bring a mindfulness to that moment, which will calm your stress down as well. So learning how to be mindful in the moment, to feel what your body is feeling, to use your senses as a way to ground yourself, and to use your breathing as an anchor. These are quick and easy things we can do throughout the day to bring our stress down, to make our day flow in an easier way for us, because as our stress falls, our experience of time changes. So as we calm ourselves and regulate our emotions and breathe into the present moment, it's as though we're stretching time, and time becomes more of your friend instead of your enemy.
It definitely seems that a lot of people are feeling overworked nowadays. Is that becoming a problem for a lot of people?
So why is overworking such a problem these days? Well, I find that ever since the pandemic, so many people are working from home or they're working in a hybrid situation, but the story of their day has changed a lot. There's been a lot of change over the last couple of years, which can be an uncomfortable thing for people, because as we know, change stirs up anxiety, even if it's change that ultimately led to positive things for some people. It can still make people feel uncomfortable. So we used to have a story where we would get in our car, go to work for a certain amount of time, drive home at a certain time of day, eat dinner at a certain time of day. And for those of us who are now working from home, like me, that's really changed a lot. And when you don't have that structure set up for yourself, what I find most people are doing is overworking. There isn't a rhythm and a flow to their day anymore. They're eating lunch breaks at different times. They're doing work through their lunch breaks. They're not getting up and, you know, getting a glass of water as often as they did in the office. And a lot of this is also because before the pandemic, perhaps people's time parameters were already kind of blurry and people were overworking when they were at the office. But generally, we're spending a lot of time sitting down in front of a computer. We're not moving as much as we need to. Our brains aren't getting a break from staring at screens. And for those of us who work at home, sometimes the end of the day is not a clear transition. In other words, there's no hard out. There's no time you're getting in your car, driving home, you're just at your computer. So the temptation is to keep working. Also, the temptation is to keep checking our phones about work when we're supposed to be on resting time, in resting mode. So there's that as well. So what's happening is work and rest are blurry. We don't have clearly defined time parameters set up around these things. And then we're not really giving ourselves enough time to bring the stress down, let that cortisol and adrenaline subside and regulate ourselves. So we kind of get ourselves into a high state of stress. Maybe you're at a level 10 on your stress ruler, and there's no clear way for your brain to bring the stress down so that now when you're making dinner with your partner or family or kids, the stress hasn't had a chance to come down on the ruler to a more easy to manage level. So part of this is learning to define clearer time parameters for yourself around your schedule. And as I've talked about in many of the episodes, an efficient way to start to do that for yourself is time blocking. And you can learn more about this in a chapter called Time Containers of the Ultimate Time Management Toolkit in my book. So in Time Containers, I ask people to visualize, and it's a visualization exercise. So visualize Tupperware containers, just simple bowls with lids of different sizes. And I want you to think about if you have to label the first bowl as something that's taking up a chunk of your time, what would you call it? So most people would say work, you know, my work task, my day job, what I do for a living, that would go in one container. Okay, well, then what would the next container be? Some people say creative projects or hobbies. And then the third container might be something like self-care or exercise. I always encourage people to create a container called self-care because I think it's important to see taking care of ourselves and our mental health and our bodies as equally important to the other things we're doing. So again, these containers are different sizes. Most of us, our work is the biggest container. It takes up the majority of our day. And in kind of visualizing each of these containers, you can start to see where the parameters might already fall. For instance, if you're dropping the first container into your schedule as a block of time, work tasks would be 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 for most people. And then maybe self-care, you're thinking about, okay, what days can I take care of my self-care needs? So in the self-care container, you might put things like meditating, journaling, or whatever you do to maintain your calm during the week. That's just for you regulating your emotions. So that container, where would you drop it throughout the week? Perhaps, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's from 7 to 9. And then you're kind of seeing, okay, well, now I have this hobbies container. I like to draw. I like to knit. I like to do gardening. I like to write. Where do I fit my hobbies container in? And that's how you start to look at time blocking. I use a trick where I color the different blocks of time. So on my calendar, I use Google Calendar. I'll have work all in pink and then self-care in green and writing in blue. And in this way, when I'm looking at my calendar across the week and I see the different blocks of blue, green, pink, orange, I visually get a sense of how balanced my week is. When you start to see too much blue on the calendar, you know you want to mix it up a little bit or whatever other color you designate for the other containers. And then the trick after you've established this for yourself is sticking to it. So each week, try to be as consistent as possible. Try to do the things that you've scheduled and try to leave yourself enough time buffer breaks in between the blocks of color. So another common mistake is that people will stack the blocks all on top of each other and they don't leave themselves any time to recover from work. They just want to go right into their hobbies or right into exercise. And sometimes you need a little window of freedom where you're letting your brain settle, you're staring off into space, you're drinking a cup of tea, and you're not loading yourself up with tasks. So again, schedule the blocks of time, put time buffers in between the blocks of time, And then make sure when you're looking across your week that it feels balanced to you, that there isn't too much of one thing or another, and that you're fitting in what you value into your schedule on a weekly basis. A lot of this requires taking perspective and looking back on your previous week and thinking, where did I get off balance? And just remember that every week you can start again. So I hope this has answered your question, and I hope this makes you feel inspired to try something new. And remember, every tiny step you change in a positive direction leads you to a whole different outcome. If you'd like to learn more about tools discussed on this episode, please visit theultimatetoolkitbooks.com and check out the Ultimate Time Management Toolkit and the Ultimate Anxiety Toolkit. And now to announce the winner of our Instagram giveaway. Congratulations to Irene Ashu of Los Angeles. You'll be receiving a free copy of my book and a free Stress Ruler bookmark. I hope you enjoy them both. Let us know what you think. I just want to wish everyone out there a happy holiday season and a wonderful 2023. I hope you'll be joining us in January as we have many more episodes lined up for you. And happy holidays. Thanks for listening.